I'm very happy now to welcome Martha Quintana. She is senior minister at the Rio Grande Center for Spiritual Living in Albuquerque, and she will be in Santa Fe on Tuesday, the 15th of April, speaking at an event called Water, Spirituality, and Social Justice. It's part of the Amigos Bravos Water Matters lecture series. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So you worked for 25 years as a trade unionist, an activist, a federal investigator. How, after all that, did you become a minister?
Well, as you can imagine, it had been calling me, even before. I started out as an atheist way back when, and during my days as an atheist, I had a couple of spiritual experiences, which is always disconcerting for an atheist. And then I had a spiritual experience, and what happened was in that experience, I recognized that there is a spirit behind everything, and that took me into exploring spiritual matters, not necessarily religious matters. They were spiritual matters, and in that exploration, I started working with Amigos Bravos. I was on their board, did a lot of work for them as a facilitator, and recognized that we were all speaking the same language, that there is a spirit behind water, there's a spirit behind the environment, behind each of us, and it's the exact same spirit. And so after some time, I went back to school and got my master's in consciousness studies and became a minister. Our center, Rio Grande Center for Spiritual Living, has only been in existence for about 4 years, but we are just a very loving and spiritual community and are very inclusive and accepting of people in the community.
Water is a metaphor and a symbol in probably every religion and spiritual practice on earth, as far as I can tell. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think mainly because our bodies are made of 70 to 80% water. We need that in order to live. So it's one of the elements, you know, it's one of the elements of the earth.
What do you think is the connection, or how do you experience the connection between water and social justice? What's going on?
Well, I think social justice has to do with our society, and justice has to do with values. And so there is an internal way of being that people really want to ascribe to. Each of us have our values that we want to live to, and they include peace. They include beauty, truth, love, those sorts of things. And so when we as social activists go out in the world to fight for something, you know, we decide we're going to advocate for, in this case, water, the importance of spirituality, social justice, and in this case, water, is that we begin to look inside for that standard that we want to see outside. So one of the important things for us as social activists is, if we want peace, do we experience peace in our lives? If we want happiness and beauty and truth, do we experience that in our lives? Do we work for that in our lives? If I don't experience peace in my own life, how can I recognize it outside of myself? If I don't drink if I don't drink clean water, if I'm not working for that, how will I recognize it when I see it? You know, how will I know that's the case? And so, you know, water is a huge political issue as well. You know, it's something that each of us needs to live, and it's something and it's something especially in the state of New Mexico, where water is becoming more and more scarce. It's become a huge political issue. And so we go internally to set that standard externally, and we work together as individuals and in groups to start to bring that to our communities.
What are some of the actual water issues that you and perhaps your congregation have been working on specifically?
We here, what we do is just really basic stuff. You know, we have some congregants who go down and just clean up the river, and we haven't started a water ministry per se. You know, just have a clean environment and clean water. And we're starting to talk about things like, carbon footprint and that sort of thing. There, one of the things that I'll be talking about during my talk at Amigos Bravos is there have been studies done on the effect of emotion on water molecules. And there was a Dr. Emoto in Japan who did studies on, he did things like, he brought up a bottle of polluted water and took pictures of the molecules and showed what each of the molecules looked like in polluted water, in water that hate had been focused on, in water that love had been focused on. And what was interesting is that as people focused like really positive energy on water, the crystals became more symmetrical. They were asymmetrical and really pretty ugly when they're in a polluted environment or in a place where people really don't care about the water. And as a result, the body itself, my own take on it, I imagine the body itself really can't process that kind of water. If we're drinking water that's been polluted, if we're drinking water where people really don't care about it, well, that's the effect on our bodies as well. Because again, we're made of 70 to 80% water. So how we think about water is really important. And so even if somebody is going out there and fighting the good fight for water, again, it goes back to what are we thinking as individuals. If my motivation for fighting for water is anger and disappointment and frustration, that has a physical toll on the body, and it has a physical toll on water. So a lot of what I'm talking about on Wednesday, I mean, or next Tuesday, I'm sorry, is about how do we think about things inside of ourselves, and how does that outpicture in the world?
Anger and frustration when you're living in a place where, for example, industries are dumping into the water that should be drinking water or doing mining or leaving their waste around. Anger and frustration are inevitable, and for a lot of people, they're motivating factors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and absolutely, there's a purpose for anger. What I'm saying is don't live there. You know that what you're advocating for is a higher standard of life, and know that there's a higher standard of life, and don't pollute yourself by living in anger. It's okay. I think you're absolutely spot on. We can't just like walk through the world, you know, just always being peaceful and loving. There's a purpose for anger, but when we begin to live there, it has an effect on us.
Now, you are from a family of 6 generations of New Mexicans. How has that affected both your faith and your activism?
Wow, that's a big question. I grew up in Taos, and like my family and their family and their family and on and behind on and on. And when I was growing up, we were part of the acequias, and, you know, every year that people came in and we watered our crops and we you know, planted our plants and that sort of thing. And as the population has expanded in northern New Mexico, there's been less and less water to do that sort of thing. And so the effect, of course, well, and the effect of urbanization, I suppose, our family doesn't do so much of that anymore. You know, I'm living in Albuquerque, and a lot of my family lives in other places. And so there's been an effect on just in terms of what we do. There's also an effect on culture. You know, we had built We had an agricultural culture, and a lot of what we did was based on that. And one of the things I liked about Amigos Bravos that I love and I still love about Amigos Bravos is that they had social and environmental activism go hand in hand. At no point did Amigos Bravos leave people out of the equation, and they were highly respectful and are highly respectful of people and their culture and preserving that and preserving the environment. And so I've admired Amigos Bravos, and that's the reason that I've chosen to work with them over the years. And it's been about, gosh, since 92, so over 20 years that I've been working with them. And the reason for that is that it's very inclusive, because you can't, at least in my opinion, you can't leave people out of the equation in fighting for the environment. All of it has to be included and worked out. All of the parties have to be at the table. And that's what Amigos Bravos does. And so it's a direct correlation to the question that you asked about my social activism, is that I've never wanted to leave any element of my family out of the equation. I think a lot of the work that we do with the environment is ancestral work. And part of the ancestral work is going back and claiming all of it, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and moving it and honoring our own evolution and moving it into a new place. And so that's the work, that's a lot of the work that Amigos Bravos does, and work that I admire very much.
When you went from being an atheist and a trade unionist and an activist and then had a spiritual experience and became a minister, if I may ask, how did you change? Do you feel like you yourself changed in fundamental ways?
I feel like it was all a process. It's not that the spiritual experience I had was in my late 20s, and so I continued to be a labor activist and for quite some time. And I feel like all of that was training for this job. As a minister, and let me tell you a little bit about our philosophy. Our philosophy is based in New Thought, and New Thought was founded around the turn of the last century. It was one of the aspects of transcendentalism, and it prescribes, and we do, that every individual is their own expert on their spirituality, and every individual has equal access to their own creativity and to their own divinity. And so as a minister in New Thought, I'm more of a facilitator for people's individual spiritual experience. So in our philosophy, we ask people what they need in order to live the highest life that they can live, live in the best way that they can live. So in a lot of ways, the life that I led before as an activist very much feeds into my job now as a minister, and because I'm still advocating for the highest kind of life that there is. I'm still asking people, what do you need in order to have that good life? And those were the questions that I was asking in labor. You know, what do we need to live that good life? And so it's really not that huge a shift.
Reverend Martha Quintana is senior minister at the Rio Grande Center for Spiritual Living in Albuquerque. Now, there's a Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Fe. Is this a church? Are there a lot of them?
There's actually two in Santa Fe. You have the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living and the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living, both fantastic ministers up there. The Everyday Center is Reverend Gail Dillon, and the Santa Fe Center is Reverend Bernardo Montserrat, and they are both just fabulous. So we actually have a few around in New Mexico. I think we're really fortunate to have that. And so we do have a few around, and we have my center in Albuquerque, the Rio Grande Center for Spiritual Living, the Albuquerque Center, and then down in Belen, there's they've just changed their name to the Valencia Center. So, yeah, there are a few of us around.
But, I mean, is it a church like the Unitarian Church?
It's a church in so far as we come together and we're incorporated as such. It's more of a philosophy. We tend to look at ourselves more of as a philosophy, more as a teaching rather than a preaching philosophy. And again, it's more of an educational thing. Like the Unitarians, we are very inclusive. And we ask people to come just the way they are. So, for example, in my congregation, I have people who also consider themselves Catholic. They also consider themselves Jewish. We have folks who are Native American, who come from fundamentalist backgrounds. And where we meet is that there is one life. There is one just one life, and so we look at that in a holistic way.
Martha Quintana is minister at the Rio Grande Center for Spiritual Living in Albuquerque, and she will be giving a lecture titled Water Spirituality and Social Justice on Tuesday the 15th of April at 5:30. It's part of the Amigos Bravos Water Matters lecture series, and it's at the Santa Fe Community Foundation on Helena Street here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me. I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday.